Welcome to the Tech Webcast Podcast, episode 429, recorded on the 27th of May, 2017. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at noon Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone or Android app. You can support Tech Webcast at patreon.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Aldwin, Brad, Jacob and myself, Daryl, and our very special guests are Irene and Ian Manson.
Tech Webcast, streamed from our brains to our mouths, to your ears, to your brain. It's like our brains are holding hands, brain hands. That doesn't really make sense, but Tech Webcast does. Tech stuff, gadgets, games. Come and wander around geek heaven with us. Tech Webcast, here, now. Holding brain hands.
Vinyl is back, baby. And if you don't want to miss the boat on all things vinyl, then you should jump right over to Still Spinning. That's STILL, Still Spinning on YouTube. It's Kevin Carpenter's wonderful channel where he has video after video on all things vinyl. So Kevin also has a Facebook page at facebook.com/stillspinning3, that's the number 3, where you can continue the conversation. So if you want that new turntable, if you're after the Beatles White Album, or you don't know what vinyl is all about, just jump over to Still Spinning on YouTube and hook up with Kevin Carpenter. And we thank Kevin and Still Spinning for supporting Tech Webcast.
I need a website, son.
What, Pop?
I need a website.
Well, if you're like Pop and you need a website, why not get on the internet and type furiousmarketing.com.au? They build all types of websites and can also help you with marketing your website. Furious Marketing can also be found on Facebook at Furious Marketing. So for all things website and marketing, you should be following furiousmarketing.com.au.
Is they furious at me, son?
Shh, no. That's their name and the ad's over.
Good afternoon, Brad.
Afternoon, Daryl Hunt. How are you, mate?
Good to have you back on the good, podcast. Good, thanks. Thank you. It was one of those sort of last Saturday, really busy getting a new server in at work. We've been working on it a week. And then it was the opening of our musical. So I all hands on deck last Saturday. So when I hit the pillow Saturday night, I slept very well.
Did you miss the podcast, mate?
I did miss the podcast. It was like I was doing stuff and I thought, I should be on the podcast. You know, it's all like you do it so often now, you know, noon Melbourne time, and then you're not there on noon Melbourne time and you think, oh. But yeah, it was one of those weeks. But the show's going very well. We've got a performance tonight and then a Sunday matinee performance. And we had Timber Top, which is Geelong Grammar. Anyone knows John Grammar School. They've got a campus up here. It was actually the school that Prince Charles came to when he had a year in Australia back in the 60s. And he spent it up here at Timber Top. And they bust all their students down from the mountain.
Oh, we got a lot of echo coming from someone, so please mute. Daryl,
yeah, it's a good weekend, mate. Good week.
It's been a good week. Where's that echo coming from?
We got a little bit of echo on the but no, it's gone now, I think. But yeah, no, it was an excellent week and busy, as I say, at work, because for the tech side of it, we were migrating our email from our old Exchange server up to Office 365. So that's now all running through Office 365, and we were replacing our old server with a new server. It'll deal with our printing and file storage. And you know, anytime you're doing a big job like that, there's always gremlins. And so I was sort of sitting with the tech guy that was actually doing a lot of the work. And we're 90% complete. Monday morning, we should be able to finish off on it. But it's worked really well considering it's such a big job. There's always going to be a few bugs pop up afterwards. But no, it's worked well. But it's just meant it's been a really busy week. But it's nice to be back.
Good to have you back on the podcast, Daryl Hunt. Let's go to Aldwyn. Welcome back, Aldwyn. You just got back from Indonesia.
Thank you so much. Yes, Indonesia and Singapore and a stopover in Kuala Lumpur twice. So, yes, it was fantastic over there. And then I was back on the Gold Coast for 3 days. And now I'm in Sydney for 2 weeks. So it's a bit of travelling going on at the moment.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, so it's all good. And the vivid lights here in Sydney are just looking absolutely amazing. I just did an Instagram post showing a little video of the Opera House being lit up with all the beautiful lights at Vivid. So there's a 3-week festival happening here in Sydney at the moment, and just about every accommodation in the city is booked out. So it's packed here at the moment in Sydney for the Vivid festival.
Nice one.
Excellent.
All right, let's go to Jacob. How's your week been, Jacob?
Oh, it's been pretty awesome. Other than the rainstorms.
Okay, that's interesting to have because you're going to summer, right?
Yeah, but here's a weird thing. It was 50 degrees all day today.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was the rain yesterday. It really cooled things off.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Anything else exciting happened during the week? Sorry, I didn't cut you off then.
Yes, well, you know, some great people in Sydney I'm catching up with and just having a lot of fun as well. And I'm doing a course here with Authentic Education. So I'm doing a productivity course at the moment. Next week I'll be doing a presentation course, and I'm really excited. In a few weeks' time I'm going to be doing my first media workshops in a very long time, but I'm actually running on my own. So most of the talks I've done have been actually with other presenters. And I'm doing one on the 20th and 21st of June, Gold Coast and Brisbane. I'll be doing a half-day event for basically teaching people how to get free publicity and how to get their message out to the masses. So I'm really excited about that. Got some awesome people coming along.
Good stuff. Daryl, just before we forget, did we mention the Patreon?
Yes. I did it in the intro, but of course, if you want to support Tech Webcast, just go over to patreon.com/ Tech Webcast, where you can assist the podcast. And we also thank our current group of Patreons for their continued support. It's all very welcome. As I say, there's, you know, bits and pieces in running a podcast, and so it's nice to get that little bit of support. But if you want to do that, just jump over to patreon.com/techwebcast and you can sign up.
Kevin Carpenter signed up Patreon too.
That's great. Thanks to Kevin, and it all helps. And as I say, it's less than — I just bought myself a cappuccino before this podcast started, and it's cheaper than a cappuccino.
I just bought a bowl of Coke on the way back, and that cost me $3.49. And
so there you are. So you can be a Patreon for less than one cappuccino or one Coke a month, and it all adds up, and it all assists in paying for the podcast.
I think like a can of Coke is like $1.50. I think around that $1.50.
Oh,
over here it's like 75 cents.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
And if you're in Singapore, you're paying $25 for a glass of wine or a beer in the Sky Tower in Singapore. Oh, so $25 for one drink, unbelievable.
Did you actually pay that? Drink. Did you pay that?
No, I didn't. I just looked at the menu and just went, wow, that's a bit insane. It is an amazing view, though. I must say it's an amazing view. But Singapore, generally, things are really a lot more expensive in Singapore for some reason.
Is that in Singaporean currency, the 25, or did you convert it to sort of
Singapore currency, which is basically dollar for dollar with Australian currency. So it's
very
similar.
Yeah, it's like my cousin's living in London at them. I've got a cousin in Britain at the moment, and she's saying, you know, it's a lot like the same. You sort of take your Australian dollars over, and when you convert it to pounds, it's like, oh, you know, and it's expensive living in London and that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yes. Was she near the that bombing that happened?
No, thankfully she's actually moved up to she's married and she's moved up to Scotland, and her hubby is on the nuclear powered submarines. So
okay.
So she's up in Scotland. There's a big base, a big nuclear submarine base up in Scotland. But no, thankfully she wasn't near Manchester for that tragedy. But I guess nowhere is 100% safe, even here.
Oh,
so you've just got to be vigilant. But yeah, thankfully, she wasn't anywhere near that.
Yeah, that's good. Good to hear. Let's go to the guests. Alderman, Irene and...
Yes. Ian Manson. Yes, I'll introduce them. Yep. We have the beautiful Ian and Irene Manson with us today, and they're coming to us from the Gold Coast. And they started about a year ago a fantastic online hub or program or business basically called Care Calling Now. And what that does is it's an automated service that does check-in calls for elderly residents who are staying at home alone, who live at home alone. So basically the check-in call, we'll find out a bit more about how this works. But basically it just ensures that the elderly loved one living at home is okay, and that family members are alerted if there's any abnormalities that might show up. So welcome, Ian and Irene.
Hi, Aldwyn.
Hi, everyone.
Fantastic to have you with us. And you've been getting a whole lot of media exposure lately, which is absolutely awesome. You've been on Channel 7 and Channel 9, and you've been in print media and online, and it's really fantastic. You are. You've been everywhere, and it's so fantastic that the word is getting out, not only about Care Calling Now, but about how inspiring your stories are as people who are, you know, traditionally, I guess, at retirement age, who have an online business and, you know, who are very, very active yourselves. And as they say, 70 is like the new 40 now. And, you know, how's that been for you? How is, you know, how do you feel with all this media exposure and with how the business is going?
Well, it's been pretty exciting, but we're probably still got a ways to go to 70, but I'll let you know what that's like when I get there. But it's been quite an interesting experience, and it's been quite a variety of stuff that's happened to us in the last week or so with the different forms of media. So that's been quite interesting.
Yeah, she's being fantastic. A bit more... She's also got herself a couple of chapters in two different books. So she's as well.
That is fantastic. Congratulations. And I realise you're not 70 yet, although what I'm basically saying the whole age thing is, you know, it's like age is just a number now, you know, and people are living longer and they're getting so much more done with their lives, and you are testament to, you know, how much you can get done. And, you know, because traditionally the whole thing about retiring at 65, you know, generally a lot of people who retire, they tend to die soon afterwards because they're not, you know, they've got nothing to be passionate about or look forward to in life. Whereas, you know, actually having something active to do, you know, in the retirement years, or, you know, I actually don't know your exact ages, but I know you're older than me. So, and I'm 43.
I was younger than you, all the time.
Are you happy to share your age, actually?
Yes, I'm 66. I'll let Irene say hers.
I'm
21, 60. Of course. Yes.
No, I'm 62, and we were just saying that in one of the interviews that, as you said, I think now older people are starting to, because we've got a lot of experience behind us and we've done lots of things, and we're not settling for gardening or, you know, or reading or quilting or whatever. We need more challenges in our lives. And, you know, with going online and with the internet and all that sort of stuff, it presents so much opportunity. And I was just reading that the seniorpreneurs, as we've been labelled in a lot of this publicity we've been getting, represent the fastest growing segment of entrepreneurship internationally and in Australia at the moment. So we're actually, older people are starting up more businesses than the younger ones. And I guess it's because we've got the time and you know, a bit of money and that behind us that we can fund ourselves more so than having to fund it and try to work at the same time.
It's partly, what shall we say, seniorpreneurs have more contacts, more business experience, therefore probably they're more likely to be successful, although those that have come straight out of the workforce, perhaps not, depending on what their tech experience is.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. And care calling now is really such a brilliant service. And, you know, there has been cases of people being found dead in their homes years after they've died. So this is a way that that can stop that from happening and also have people live in their homes longer. Can you explain a little bit about how care calling now works for people who've never heard of it before?
Well, basically what care calling now is, it's an automated daily call that occurs at the same time every day. So for an older person that lives at home alone, it establishes a routine which we've helps, you know, give them some sense of rhythm and that in their lives, and apparently that's an important thing. And if they, basically how it works is we ring at the same time every day, be it morning, afternoon, evening, whatever they decide is the time that they want it at. And if they don't answer, basically they just pick up the phone when it rings. The message says something along the lines of, "Hi, this is your daily care call from Care Calling Now. Please push any numbered key on the phone to acknowledge that you're okay." And then it instructs them to push the button, and then it says, "Yes, thank you, your call's been received. Have a nice day," and that's the end of it. So the call only lasts for about 20 seconds max, and we're finding what a lot of people are liking is the fact that it's not intrusive, it's done and dusted real quick, and a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of talk about loneliness and no connection, you know, the lack of connection, but a lot of people really don't want to have a conversation. We had one lady at the launch who... She said when her family purchased the program for her, she sort of said, "Oh, I don't think I'm going to like this if I haven't got a real person to talk to." She said, "I'd like to have a conversation with them, you know, and that sort of thing." She said after 2 days, she said she was so happy that it wasn't a person and she didn't have to make small talk. She was sort of got to the stage where she'd say, hurry up, tell me when to push the button so I can get this done and I'm up and I'm busy and I've got stuff to do. So, and she also uses it as a get out of bed call because she said she purposely puts it away from her bed so that she physically has to get out of bed. And then she said once she's out of bed, then she, you know, she'll shower and do things. So it makes her get out of bed rather than, you know, if you've just got to wake up the radio, you can push the snooze button and you can stay in bed and it can be lunchtime before they get up and out of bed. So it gives them a bit of a purpose as well. Mm-hmm. So
I think that's great. And I did a trial of the service myself and I must say that it was great to just have that call, even though you know it's not a real person, but you still feel like someone cares about you, that there's actually this call coming in and that someone's checking in on you and you don't feel so alone. Whereas I would say a lot of elderly residents, you know, would feel very alone at times and would probably even be prone to depression at home alone. So it's a nice way to, you know, not feel so segregated and apart from the rest of society.
And the flip side of that too is for the family because, you know, imagine, you know, you're sitting at home and it's 11 o'clock at night and you think, "Oh, I should have rung mum," and you didn't do it again. And so, you know, that sort of thing happens, whereas this sort of takes a little bit of the for some people it's a difficult thing to hand over because they feel it's their responsibility. But it is a really easy way for them to have peace of mind. And with our service, it's basically no news is good news. We're not going to tell you every day, "Yes, your mum's okay," because then that sort of becomes a bit of a not grind isn't the right word, but it's yeah. just sort of...
You get lost in all the communication that we have today. I mean, with all this tech stuff, I mean, I was just looking at something on the internet where they want you to have an app so you can push more information at them. And, like, you know, all of this is just right at your fingertips every day, whereas this is just something that happens once a day. And if something goes wrong, that's when these people get an email and or a text or a call, right? So in that case, it's not overload with information. If you've got an email every day saying, "Mum's okay," Well, the next time you get an email and mum's not okay, you're probably ignoring it already or trying to unsubscribe.
It's fantastic. And there's an interesting story as to why you started care calling now too. Could you please share that with our listeners?
Well, basically, it goes back quite a number of years when we moved up here to the Gold Coast, and Ian's mum was down in Victoria, down in Geelong actually. And we sort of thought, oh, we were a bit worried about her. She was living there alone. She was a little bit, she was getting a bit fragile. So we thought, well, we'll buy her one of those medical alert bracelet necklaces to wear around her neck. And we thought, well, problem solved, job's done, we can rest easy. But the problem was she wouldn't wear it. And part of the thing that we've discovered with a lot of people, especially the women, it's an admission that they're getting old, that they are, you know, it's a public visual thing and it's a constant reminder. And also and we found the one time that she did fall, she'd had like a mini stroke. And even if she had been wearing the necklace or had a bracelet, she wouldn't have been able to push it because she was paralysed. And the other thing too is even if people do wear them with regards to that, if they take them off at night, and a lot of these accidents happen at night or the falls occur at night when they go to the bathroom, and they're not going to put the necklace or the bracelet on. So and in having said that, the two things aren't mutually exclusive. They do complement each other. Ours is a proactive thing, whereas the necklace and the medical alerts are more a reactive thing. They really only come into play once something's happened.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Now, Jacob, I believe you've got a question from America there.
Well, what she was talking, she's talking like we have this system called Life Alert. Coming from First Alert. So over here, we call them like pendants.
Yep.
Yep, but that's not what we do. Ours is different to that. We don't. Ours just uses the telephone. And also the difference is, too, a lot of those alerts are now getting quite intrusive as well. They've got the alerts have like a fall monitor and things, and a lot of the older people don't want to be that technologically involved, you know what I mean, with this. It's just their landline. A lot of the oldies just use their landline. They don't even use the mobile, so it's a very low tech sort of service.
Oh, all right. I have a good question I always ask. So what do you use in your everyday tech environment?
Well, mainly we just use our computers to connect with our software developer, who happens to be in the US, who's developed the software at our request, and they run it through a cloud application that dials out automatically based on the software what we required to get the three or the six calls and the email and the text. So the actual software I don't develop. I'm not that technically orientated, although probably if I had about 5 years, I probably could learn how to do that, because I did do computers a long time ago in terms of software development. But these days I'm more of a employ someone that's good at it and do it quickly and sharply and get it right sooner.
Yeah, it's a good idea to have that service, because a lot of people, like you said, don't like using that having the pendant or something like that. Getting the call, it's like instant. But the life alert, it's like, that's for like people falling. But sometimes they can have like a miscommunication and have a missed call. But with this, you can just tell them that you're all right.
Yeah, and we didn't sort of explain, if they don't answer the first call, then there's a second call like 15 minutes later, And if they don't answer that, then there's a third call. So there's three attempts within 30 minutes if they don't answer. So, and what we're looking at here is incorporating it with some of the in-home care service people. So so that brings a different perspective to it. But most of it is that, you know, they get a call, and if they don't answer the first three calls, then when they register, they put down the name and phone number of two neighbours and or alternate numbers of people that live close by that can pop over and have a look. Like we had an instance, and they said, oh, his car's not there, so that just meant that he wasn't there, so they didn't go any further. So there are other procedures in place to follow up if they don't answer.
So so Irene, does this cost? How much does this cost? Is this a free service or is this?
No, unfortunately, no. We are. It's $33 per month.
Right. Okay.
Per person. So okay. That's one call per day. So
I've actually got
over a dollar a day.
I've actually got a question for Jacob. Now, Jacob, your mum has been sick a few times. Now, what? I think she fell over one time. You were telling me. Now, how did you deal with that? Did you have something similar to this service?
No, my dad actually. He just walked in the door and he saw her down there, and he performed CPR, woke her back up, and that was it.
So what about? So if your dad wasn't around, would you have known what to do if there was no one else around?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Well,
because it's not uncommon for someone that lives alone, if they fall, for them to lie on the floor or wherever for 3 to 4 days is quite common for them before someone notices, oh, hey, I haven't seen Jacob around for a couple of days. I hope he's okay. Yeah. And then they might knock on the door. So, you know, whilst you hear the horror stories about long time stuff, you know, like Aldwyn alluded to, the lady in Sydney that was there for 8 years. Wow. That's the exception, but 3 to 4 days is not uncommon at all.
Yeah, right. So, Jacob, just going back to you for a minute, does your mum have one of these sort of similar sort of services? Well, then she should have it.
It signs up to Care Calling now.
Do you guys support the USA or is it just Australia?
We do.
Oh, you do?
We do.
Yep. USA, Canada, Australia and New Zealand.
Well, there you go, Jacob. Then you should tell your mum about this. Daryl, any questions?
Yeah. If you're an elderly person and maybe you're out quite often, is it like firstly, is it a set time that everyone knows that the phone's going to ring? And if so, what about if for example the person says, "Oh, I'm going to be away for," do they contact you and say, "I'm not going to be home for the next 4 days because I'm going on a holiday somewhere." How do they do that so that you don't end up with miscommunications and maybe emergency services being sent out when the person's actually gone on holidays?
Yep. Well, you can go into the when they register, they get a password and they get access to like their account.
Yep.
And in that, probably not the older person, but the child or the family member that signed them up would need to access the account and turn it off for whatever period. They're not going to be there.
Yeah. And does it work with mobiles as well? Because I know you were saying that, which is quite right, a lot of older people still have the landlines, but will it work with mobiles? Because
it does.
Mobiles, VoIP, anything that's got a keypad on should be fine.
Yeah, because the more and more, particularly as the NBN rolls out, you know, even older people now are sort of considering ditching their landline and even just having a cheap, you know, feature mobile phone. They don't all have to rush out and get it, say, an iPhone or some high-powered phone. But
as long as they can switch over to the, they just need someone to go to the keypad part. We purposely made it any button so they didn't have to worry, do I have to push one or two or what number do I have to push? As long as they can push any number, it'll work.
So when, if a person, like you've rung the number several times and the person hasn't answered, so does that then automatically contact the next, yeah, say the neighbours or that, and say go over and can you go over and check on this person? Would it be that if it was, say, an environment where, like, I live in a rural environment, and say you've got some elderly people still living on sort of farming areas where the next neighbour may be quite away, is there any way that it sort of, after so many times, it would sort of automatically, say, communicate with emergency services or something like that? Or is that a step too far?
No, it doesn't. Because the difficulty with that is
emergency services,
when you dial 000, it's localised.
Yes.
So, and because we originate out of America, like even if we got a red flag here on the Gold Coast to say, Mrs. Jones in Horsham hasn't answered her phone, we would call 000, but we would get the Gold Coast.
Yes, 000. I understand. Yes.
Therein lies the problem. So the part that I didn't mention, there is actually a final call, which if the alternates don't answer, it then goes to the person that pays the bill. Or whoever they nominate.
Yep.
And they'll get either a text message or a phone call. They choose which method they prefer. Plus they'll get an email to say, we've tried all the numbers that you've supplied. No one is answering. And so basically, ball's in your court, you need to do something about it. And then if you know where it is, you can dial a local police station or say, listen, my mum gets this call, she hasn't answered, I need someone to go out there and check it. So then it becomes up to you. So our responsibility ends with that, because it just sort of got too...
Yeah, I can understand that.
It's really possible.
I guess it's not impossible, but at this stage it's very difficult to do that. I mean, some of the medical alerts do that, and it's part of the issue they have with that. Getting the police arriving on the door is an embarrassment as well. So,
yeah, we had one story, a friend of ours, she had one that had a bright red button on it, and one of the great-grandchildren were over, and the kids came over and they said, oh, Nan, what's that red button, and pushed it. And she said it was like a SWAT team arrived at her place. And then she got charged for a call-out fee because it was a false alarm. So
Irene, do you offer any sort of discounts for this sort of service for people that are on, like, Centrelink benefits or anything like that sort of thing, or is it just a straight $30 or whatever it is a month?
At this stage, we haven't really. We are on the seniors card. And we do offer a discount on that.
Yeah, 10%.
And we do offer a 7-day free trial so people can try it.
So anyone can. So who is this for? Is this really just for older people or for anyone? Who's this?
It can be for anybody. It can be for disabled people. It can be for post-operative people. You know, you might want it for a month. What you've had, you know, hip surgery, or you've had your knee done or something, and you're a bit fragile and you live at home alone, and, you know, if you fall over and you've had your knees done, you probably can't get up. So it's anybody that's vulnerable that lives at home alone.
Have you promoted it with because I used to work in local government, and I'm sure a lot of the councils that run community services departments, the human services areas, where they have, you know, Meals on Wheels, they have various other services for older people. I can imagine that, and particularly in rural councils where I work for, where there's that, you know, you don't have big city services, I can imagine this would be very valuable for councils to know about, because they could then refer older people to that sort of a service.
Yep. Well, we're registered with My Communities, which goes out to all the councils. So, it's available for all the councils, but how that actually, I know we don't get a great number of views there, but it's...
It may be worth, sending material, to local, because I can just imagine, like, you know, a council here where I am, where it's, as I say, we're in a rural environment, and I think they would love a service to be able to promote that to their clients and say, well, look, you know, if you're still living on the farm, or you're independence, this is a great way for you to keep your independence rather than sort of relatives sort of trying to push them into either living in the town here or finding, you know, and a lot of rural areas don't have even nursing home accommodation close by. You have to go to a city and you're away from your actual home environment.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's a good thought. I might follow that up.
Yeah, because I mean, there was a recent case somewhere in Australia, and I can't remember where a tractor had rolled over, and a farmer had been pinned underneath it. And if they'd got to him,
yes,
you know, within a day, his life probably would have been saved.
Yes, I think that was down near Geelong somewhere.
And there's rural street numbering and various other things. And so it's not like, you know, your city streets with the grids of streets and, you know, and knowing where to get to. I mean, you know, in a rural environment, you've got to know the dirt road and down this, you know, 5 kilometres and around the corner and to have a service where people could just
bring in the milk can on the gate, right?
Exactly. Near the branch that's fallen down across the road there a few times and all that, you get those sort of really vague.
He's the country boy.
Mentioned Horsham before.
Horsham.
I was born in Horsham in Victoria.
Yeah, well, I'm up in Mansfield in northeast Victoria. So we've had our fair share of, you know, situations where, you know, people are on farms and various other things and you try and direct traffic or direct someone to them and it's very difficult. So the phone service where if they don't contact, then relatives or friends can get to them, I think is really valuable.
Yes, definitely. I mean, or even the next door neighbour, the farmer across the way, the houses are probably, you know, might be a mile or so apart, but they might have a visual line, or they might have seen the person go out in the truck, and they know he's okay. So I know my father had 3 or 4 people that he could have used if we'd been still living on the farm at that point, but we weren't. We were back in town by then. So
And we've got quite a few people here who they retire up this way, and because, you know, they can sell their property, say in Melbourne, for, you know, the way property prices are now, for good, and they actually buy several acres and they buy a house. You know, it might be several kilometres out of town, and as they get a bit older, they don't want to move into town. They want that lifestyle that they've worked hard to get, but they want at least something where they know if there's a problem, and they might not have any real family close by, but at least they know then that if they can, someone calls them and they don't answer, that someone's going to get to them.
Yeah, and I mean, they can time the call. Yep. Like if you're a farmer and you go out in the morning, you mightn't want the call in the morning, but you might want it at 7 o'clock when you come back in from working, because you want your relatives to know that you got home safely.
Yes,
right. So that would mean you'd get attention before having to spend all night out in the dark.
Well, certainly if you're promoting it, even groups like I know you're up in Queensland, but the VFF, you know, the Victorian Farmers Federation here in Victoria, and I'm presuming Queensland's got its own, you know, equivalent. Your national farming bodies and all that, I'm sure, because a lot of older farmers who want to stay on the farm, they want that, you know, and they're the most fiercely independent people I know, would really appreciate that.
Yep. And the Country Women's Association on a similar vein, right? Yep. I don't know what they are exactly in America, but you know, they would have similar issues over there.
All right, good stuff, guys. So are you guys on Twitter?
Yes, Care Callings on Twitter. Yes, definitely.
Yes, and are you guys personally on Twitter, or do you use – what social networking do you guys use?
Facebook for us. I mean,
Facebook,
Twitter's just something that I've developed with Care Calling more so. I had a bakery at one stage and I'd started with Twitter, but I didn't get far with it, so –
okay, fair enough.
We've found Twitter. We've had some. We're getting followed by like interesting people, people on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas everybody said, "Oh, Facebook," but actually, Twitter, from a business point of view, has been probably better connectivity than Facebook.
Yeah, because Facebook will be great, but it's people understanding what we do. And all this publicity we've had here in Australia now has probably gone out to at least had 10,000 or 12,000 views on Facebook right through the news sector. So that's wonderful for us because, you know, more traffic to our website, more conversions, all that sort of thing. So it's all plus from there.
Well, I think your website's going to go down after this when this podcast goes because you're going to get so much traffic after this. So just be ready.
Too much for that. We appreciate it.
www.carecallingnow.com.
There you go. Sign up, people. Daryl Hunt, where can they get hold of you on Twitter? We need to wrap up, mate.
They can get hold of me on Twitter at Learnscape and on Google Plus at plus Daryl Hunt. And great show and really interesting concept. I think it's going to do very well.
Indeed, it is very good. A great service. And you can get me on Twitter at Brad on Tech Webcast. Alden, what about you?
You can get me at Aldwin on Twitter. Just Google Aldwin Altener. You'll see me on Instagram, Facebook, Google Plus, YouTube. Subscribe to my channel, Aldwin Altener.
How many profiles do you have, Aldwin? How many profiles do you
Pinterest.
Have?
I've got about 50,000 people on my social media. And, of course, I know every single one of them personally. I've been networking for years.
Jacob was telling me you have a lot of profiles on Facebook.
I have three profiles because what happened is you can only have 5,000 friends on a profile page. Well, it's not actually a page, it's your profile, your actual profile. And before they brought in the following feature with Facebook, I just kept setting up new profiles every time it got to 5,000. So I set up three profiles and now I've got about 1,000 to 1,500 people also following me on each of the profiles. And then I've got about 10 different pages on Facebook as well, which you can have over 5,000 people on your actual pages. And then I've got about 15,000 on Twitter. Or LinkedIn, I've got about 15,000 there now. So it's just growing all over the place, which is awesome. And, of course, the YouTube channel is growing as well and more people are watching the shows I'm doing and loving it. So I've been getting great feedback from that as well. So it's really great. You know, it's all about getting the message to the masses and, you know, sharing the love and sharing what you're up to in this world. And the whole thing about the Media Queen label is that you don't need to be born into royalty to get your message out there. So, you know, I encourage everyone who's got a great message service like Ian and Irene, who, of course, a reminder that there's 7-day free trial. Just go carecallingnow.com/offer for the free 7-day trial. Definitely worth trying out and see if you want to go ahead. Only $1 a day, which is brilliant and so inspiring. Ian and Irene, really, thanks so much for joining us today. And I could rattle on for a while, but I'll go over to Jacob and see how can people connect with you, Jacob?
You can just follow me at jazzbot32669, and that's 1Z.
1Z, eh? What made you come with that name, mate?
The system picked that out for me.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. So, Irene and Ian, thanks for being on the podcast, guys.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share it with your listeners,
we're very grateful for that.
No problem. Yeah, good to come back on any time if you want to chat about more of this. And yeah, it's been great chatting with you.
Okay, thank you.
We look forward to
and appreciate your feedback and some of your suggestions too. We'll follow those up.
Awesome.
Take care, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Jacob. You want to wrap the podcast up, mate?
Do you want to wrap it up this time?
No, you can.
Okay, you can.
How about Daryl Hunt? He can wrap it up.
wrapping.
Jacob to wrap it up. Jacob,
yes.
Wrap it up.
Yes.
Well, Daryl, you cannot wrap it up this week. Woohoo!
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha, stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha, ha. Tech Webcast.